Blog Talk Radio.
Another word from the Lord this morning found in the book of Deuteronomy, 33rd chapter. And I'd like to direct your attention to the 25th verse of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 25, reads, "And your shoes will be iron and brass, and your strength will equal your days. For there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who will rise on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. For the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting mountains. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper, and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places." Verse 25 tells us that your shoes shall be iron and brass. "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning. Life marches on. Life marches on. From the first day that we take a breath and enjoy our first day, our first moment of life, life becomes a constant march. It is not an optional march. It's a mandatory march. You can't call a time out. You can't take time off of the life, of the march of life. You can't do that. In other words, life is what we call a forced march.
Amen.
And you have to keep moving. And there are times that we wonder among ourselves, what would life be like if we weren't forced to engage in this forced march? What would happen if we were able at a particular point in time to pause the march and refuse to go on? For there are some people who fail to move on emotionally and mentally. But no matter how your efforts and desires of stopping the march, no matter how great it becomes, you just can't stop. You have to keep going. And there's an attempt in childhood and at some point in adulthood to either speed up the march or slow the march down. You can do either. You have to continue the march. It's like my granddaughters who have their play stoves where they pretend to cook. Now, that's cute while they're 3 and 6. That's cute.
Yeah.
Or the toys in my toy trucks that my grandson plays with. That looks cute while he's 5. But there's something would be wrong if when they're 15 and 16, they're still playing with toy stoves. We're still playing with toy automobiles and trucks. Something would be wrong if they got up in the teenage years and are still playing with things they were playing with when they were little babies. It's like the 15-year-old who is whining like a little child. What they're trying to do, they're trying to stop time. You're no longer a little baby anymore. You're a teenager now. You got to grow up.
20-year-old or 25-year-old who has no more sense of responsibility than a 15-year-old, still unsure of what they're going to do in life. They're trying to stop the march.
Yeah.
People who fail to make wills or prepare their souls for death are also guilty of trying to stop the march. And you know, if we could stop time, we would miss our own so much. For our early years, they don't give us our greatest moments.
Right.
Those great moments long and belong in the time of maturity and understanding. That's when your greatest moments appear. And if we could stop time, we would miss out on so much. Our friends would go on in life and mature and engage in experiences and leave us behind, like children who fail to pass to the next grade. There's a certain beat, there's a certain pace that you just can't stop this life thing. You got to keep going. It's like that poem that says, "Grows along with me, the best is yet to be. The last for which the first was made." So along this journey of living, there comes some major testing times that everyone who's privileged to listen to me this morning, you are in one of the testing times. The words that we read this morning from our text, they're brave and they're uplifting and soothing like a cool summer breeze. They have a rhythm of nobility to them.
Yes,
listen to the text as it tells us that thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Amen.
Then when you move down a couple of verses, we come upon another verse that has almost without equal in the kindly promise it brings from God to all of poor and shivering years on earth, and said, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Now, theologians, they have suggested that Moses was the author of these words, and as he addressed the assembled nation of ancient Israel in his farewell discourse, here's Moses delivering his valedictory address to the people before God buried him in Mount Nebo's high house.
Right.
It's a capturing song, and those words bear a splendor that's worthy of the great solitary nature of the life of Moses, and especially Moses' death. For what Moses accomplished in his service to God far surpassed the exploits of all of Israel's kings, including the master's king David. These words that we heard this morning would be fitting for a person who will shortly be buried in a mysterious grave that no human eye would never see. No traveler to the Holy Land has ever pointed out to anyone the grave of Moses. Every tourist knows that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's graves are still to be seen among the graves of Hebron. The bones of Noah, Joseph, where he sleeps, were told after many wanderings and Shechem in the parcel ground given to the father. That's where Joseph's bones live. And then Rachel's tomb on the road to Bethlehem. It was there where her strength to take it all the way up, and she died giving birth to Benjamin. And then if you look at the sepulcher of the advisor of the joy of his heart, but the last resting place of Moses is claimed by Moses. God rocked Moses to sleep in the lonely refuge of Mount Nebo. God closed Moses' eyes in death, for the angels were his call there. And God buried him where the stars go to sleep, up where the meteors shoot, up where the lightning is set loose. So these words would have been proper on the lips of Moses' farewell. But no matter who spoke them, they have a ring of experience, of certainty, of conviction and assurance. Life, as we know, has three major testing times. And those of you who are listening, you're at one of those testing times. The first testing time occurs when we reach our adolescent years, where we move from childhood's unstructured demands to the demands of adulthood. It's a time of passage, and it's a dangerous time, because if you're not careful, you can scar that individual who's going through this time for the rest of their life. For they're no longer a child and not quite yet an adult. Therefore, parents have to be prayerful and mindful of those that they're responsible for as they're going through this period. So we hear God saying, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And it's sad that when a lot of individuals reach this time period, they feel like they have no time for God. And those of us who have been with God for a certain period of time feel like there's no place for them. But you're sadly mistaken. So when you reach this time period, you definitely need the arm of God. You need those arms to guide you and direct you in this mean, cold world. And as a matter of fact, God has a place of importance for the young. The Bible tells us that Samuel was only a boy when God called him. David was a mere child when he became God's warrior. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was little more than a girl when she gave birth to the Savior. And then look at Jesus. At 12 years old, the house of God drew him to the temple where he was talking with the doctors of the law and educating them. The word says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The eternal God is your refuge. These words that speak to a testing time of changing boys and girls into men and women. And then God offers what we need at that stage. And you may ask, well, Pastor, what do we need? We need at this point in our lives high standards and high morals. And there is Jesus standing up and saying, I am your mom. We see that great religious experience that there is Jesus saying, follow me and I will make you. What do we need as we move toward adulthood? We need a cause.
Amen.
We need a cause that will claim our passion and our enthusiasm. We need a cause that will allow us to get up strong in the morning and go on and fight on for the master. We need a call. And then as Jesus is saying, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. And yes, we have a God who tells the young as they face life's fire, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. For in the time of trouble, he has hid me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. That moving from childhood to adulthood. But then we have a second great test. And this time occurs when we labor, when we have struggled, and we have sacrificed to enjoy a measure of success. In the busyness of living, striving, we may commit, and they may rise up when we get weary and let our God down. We spend so much time and energy struggling and using the energy that God blessed us to have, and we're likely to become irritable at times. You know how it is when it's time. When you move in this phase of your life, the passion of your marriage has, your goals have been readjusted, and you're likely to start feeling a little bit apprehensive about the gray hairs or the wrinkles or the hair that's falling out. The children are gone. And the end of that parental effort brings a letdown. And if you're successful, you're likely to repeat the foolish words that we hear in the Word of God. Those words that say, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And we see this in many. Where success and security come, they seem to find less and less time for God. They find less time for the hour of worship and service to the God who afforded those luxuries in the first place. Can't you hear Jesus saying, "Fool, life's testing time is upon you. Who will these things be?" Because if you didn't know it or not, those things that you cherish and hold on to so dearly, there will come a time where death will pry them from your hand. And it's tragic that in the society in which we live in, where there are so many well-off and wealthy individuals, in that same token, we've got so many people who don't have, so many people in this country who are struggling to make it, and here you are worried about what you have, and then you got other folk who don't have, and you don't even look their way. I'm here to tell you that we're under God's judgment for our neglect for the poor and the vulnerable. For our text says, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So in the days of middle age, of prosperity and position, God gives us strength. Amen. He promises renewal with the first deal and with the first deal and the early passage of God when I energy reduces and our enthusiasm becomes dull and our appetites are full and satisfied. I hear God say to those that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And for those that have become old and tired, The word says, behold, I make all things new. Oh my goodness, there's another kind of thing that I'm going to touch on in a moment. It comes to most of us before we die. And more so now that we're living longer as a people. We find that our work is finished and our departure is not yet at hand. Our friends are all gone, but we linger on. The children no longer need us, and the sun has gone down. We're in our twilight years, but night hasn't come. The work is finished, but the time of sleep is not yet. Our day is gone, and we must move among strange people as strange voices. We're no longer able to do for ourselves and must wait for others to do for us. No one admires or keep our company any longer. People at the end of their lives feel the indifference and hostility too often from the government and the community. But they still have a word. And that word says, as I think, so shall thy strength be. You see, what the Lord does, he raises up people to see about us, and it's true. For we're told in the Psalms that I've been young and I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging his bread. And then Isaiah lets us know that even to old age, I am he. Even to the gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. When the world turns its back on you, I can still hear the Lord say, the eternal God is our refuge. When the world has no longer outstretched arms for us and wants to throw us through on the trash, I can still hear God say, underneath, you can't fail underneath. With no more work that needs us and no more strength to go and come, lay aside, I still hear the word say, underneath I be everlasting arms. No everlasting arms are the same arms that brought us into life. So the everlasting arms are the same arms that blessed us through the middle period of our life, and those everlasting eyes will see us to our final destination. I'm on my way to heaven. Don't you want to go? And what we can't do is try to call a time out on life and say, no, I want to stop. No, I got to keep on going because I got folks behind me trying to get to Jesus. Can I get a witness? And no matter what you're going through, your destination is glory.
Somebody to go.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Life marches on.
Well,
don't give up. Keep moving.
Yeah.
God is with us. God is for us.
Yeah.
And God will make a way.
He will.
Can I get a witness?
You can.
Amen.
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 Amen. Again.
Amen.
It is wow.
Yeah, what's going up this morning? It's
yeah. Your last Sunday, son. Quiet, I mean, we just put on the name.
They haven't really.
My grandmother went back. She's gone back to 24.
Oh.
I do some small community where it's not really like. Thank you.